And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Lots of sunshine today, but pretty chilly, although not quite as cold as it was early this morning. Here in the city of Butler, we got down to 12 above for about a half an hour or so. And that was really after sunrise, around 8:30, quarter to 9, that we dropped down to 12. But we have recovered a bit since then. Nonetheless, still a chilly day. As you just heard Tracy say, we got a couple of more to come. And then we'll see temperatures moderating again. And we do expect to be back in the 40s by Thursday, Friday, maybe even close to 50. So not the end of the world here. We were certainly due for a little bit of a freeze, and we've got it. It started to get cold, actually, late Saturday night, and then just continued through the day yesterday. Lots of sunshine, though, so that makes it a little bit easier to handle. And there's not a great deal of wind. There's a little bit of a breeze, but it's not bad. Open talk on the first portion of the program today. Our phone number is 283-2525. 283-2525. Guests join us later. We'll be talking with Ken Starr from Star Hill Winery. This coming Saturday, it's time for the annual WISR Wine Festival again. Boy, has another year gone by. Wow. That's coming up this Saturday, so we'll be talking about that. Ken Starr will be here. I think that Star Hill's been here ever since we started the wine festival, I believe. Certainly many, many years. And this is the 14th annual wine festival coming up on Saturday. Anyway, we'll talk with Ken. Nice guy. Knows a lot about wine, too. And we'll also be talking a little bit about the dangers of vaping with a medical doctor. Dr. J.W. Lee will join us for a few minutes later on the program today. But open talk to begin with. Our phone number is 283-2525, 283-2525. Today is the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Doesn't actually occur on his birthday. It's the third Monday in January. His actual birthday would have been last week. But the holiday has been around longer than you might realize. A lot of folks still talk about this as a new holiday. It's actually been around for 34 years. Yeah. It became a national holiday in 1986, which, believe it or not, was 34 years ago. So we honor the memory and the legacy of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., one of the giants of the civil rights movement in America. And of course, if you've forgotten or you're not familiar with his life, he championed non-violent protest, like Mahatma Gandhi did in India. And he won the Nobel Peace Prize back in 1964, did Martin Luther King, for his espousal of nonviolent protests. And he was an incredible speaker, one of the most eloquent and inspiring speakers ever. Who can not listen to segments of his I Have a Dream speech on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and not be inspired? Yeah, tremendous speech. And, of course, the horrific part is that he was assassinated, gunned down in 1968. So we honor his legacy today, and we honor the memory of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the most visible spokesperson and leader in the civil rights movement in the United States, which we desperately needed back in the 1960s. it's easy for us to forget how segregated this country was. In fact, there was a story in the news today, and it was a story that I was not familiar with. I heard it for the first time on CBS radio here on WISR early this morning when they announced the naming of a soon-to-be-built aircraft carrier. It's going to be named after the late Dory Miller, the USS Dory Miller. And my first reaction was, who's Dory Miller? I'd never heard the name before. Well, he was the first African-American, the first black American to be awarded the Navy Cross following his heroism at Pearl Harbor. Did you know this story? I did not. Doris Miller, his real first name was Doris, but he went by Dory. Dory Miller had enlisted in the U.S. Navy in September of 1939, basic training and all that stuff. He was promoted to mess attendant third class, worked in the kitchen, one of the few ratings open at that time to African Americans. Yeah, put him in the kitchen. This is 1939. He eventually, after a number of other assignments, ended up on the West Virginia. In August of 1941, he was at Pearl Harbor when Pearl Harbor was attacked. And he helped to move the captain of the ship, who was mortally wounded, to a location off the bridge. And then he ran to a machine gun that he was not trained to use it, but he and another guy loaded it up and started firing at incoming Japanese planes. And he fired the gun until he ran out of ammunition. The ship that he was on, the West Virginia, was heavily damaged, and it eventually sank to the bottom of Pearl Harbor. Dory Miller and the other surviving crew members escaped. They abandoned ship and escaped. He tragically died, however, about 2 years later. He was brought home to the U.S., went on a war bond trip following his honors. It took a while to get him the honors for his heroic action at Pearl Harbor. And then he went back to war, and he died when the later ship that he was stationed on was sunk by a submarine, Japanese submarine. Never heard the guy's name before, Dory Miller. It was announced yesterday by the Pentagon that a soon-to-be-built aircraft carrier will be named after him. How about that? 283-2525, our number. Open talk here today. Let's go to the people. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Hello, David.
Hi.
I just wanted to just bring a concern of mine. I was on the television show on EWTN this week.
Yes, please.
About euthanasia and the dignity to die.
Mm-hmm.
And how much in Europe it's already passed laws, and Canada, Oregon, Washington, and California is looking at it now.
I was going to say there are some states in the United States where assisted suicide is legal, yes.
I just found it shocking, and I thought this week with the March to Life that that's the other flip side of the coin, protecting life, and I just found it very shocking, and I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, we don't hear about that. You know, when you talk about pro-life issues, and you're right, with the March for Life coming up, I think it's this Friday, isn't it, in Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
You know, the main subject you hear about is abortion.
Yes.
You don't hear much about euthanasia. I, like you, have troubles with that, have concerns with that. I also, and I don't know, I guess my viewpoint is not that widespread. I have problems with capital punishment, too, if you're talking about pro-life issues.
Sure thing, yeah. I just wanted to bring that up today and
Well,
everybody was aware.
We spent a week or so ago talking about pro-life issues with a couple of guests. Michael Harvey and Larry Black were here. We did not get to talk about euthanasia, though, so we should have brought that up.
Okay, well, that's all I have today, David. I just wanted to give people a little something to think of.
And you say this story that you saw says that it's becoming more widespread in a number of European countries now?
There's a lot of states by state are bringing it up in their legislation.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't come close to any kind of a vote, but the idea is to get the language going first, and they're tricking it sort of underneath a wire, you know, and once they get it in, all you have to have is one doctor agree with another doctor. So if the first doctor agrees and the second one doesn't, they go to the third doctor, the fourth or whatever, to get a second doctor, and they're allowed to give them the prescription to self-suicide, more or less. And they call it death with dignity, and I don't see, I think you have a right to die, but you also have a right to life, and that's the guy up above, without getting into religion too much, he takes and gives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just found that very shocking, and I saw that as a documentary on EWTN about it.
Well,
a guy went all around the world and interviewed people that were on the list and stuff.
We appreciate
your sharing. First, it started out that you had to have a illness, you know, that was incurable.
Mm-hmm.
And they went from an incurable disease to mental illness. And from mental illness, you had to have these ratings, to the right that you're so depressed that you just don't want to live, to even down to children if they have problems. And it's like, oh, that's really, to me, really shocking. I don't know. That's about all I have. But it was very good story documentary they had. And I just thought other people should know about this subject's coming on the up in the next few years.
All right. Well, we appreciate you sharing with us. It was nice to talk to you today, my friend.
All right. Have a good day.
And you.
Bye-bye.
So long. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Some people feel that assisted suicide is the first step toward, allowing the killing of individuals who are severely disabled, whether intellectually or otherwise, when they're very young. I don't know that that's the case, but there are people who feel that way and feel very strongly about it. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Open talk here on the It's Your Turn program on a Monday. Pretty cold Monday, lots of sunshine, but pretty chilly. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR right after these words.
Armco Credit Union has one sweetheart of a loan rate waiting for you. Hi, I'm Kurt Heekins, loan manager at Armco Credit Union. And whether you're thinking of buying a vehicle or refinancing a loan from another financial institution, now is the time to take advantage of our low, low rates. Now through February the 29th, you can get a 60-month auto loan for as low as 2.25 annual percentage rate. Check out armcocu.com for other rates and terms. Apply for a loan online or visit us in person.
Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Phone number 283-2525. Open talk on the It's Your Turn program here on this Monday. I was telling you the story of Dory Miller, for whom an aircraft carrier will be named. It's not built yet. They're going to start building it in another year or so. So it takes a long time to build an aircraft carrier. I mean, it takes usually 4 or 5 years. But eventually it will be launched, and it'll be the USS Dory Miller. Not only was working in the kitchen, third-class mess raiding, one of the few areas open to African-Americans in World War II. Keep in mind, we had segregated armed forces then. 1940s. Had segregated armed forces. There were African-Americans, there were black Americans in combat, but they were in separate units. They were not mixed in with the white soldiers. And I'm sure most of you know the story of the Tuskegee Airmen, who were fighter pilots, separate squadron, all black. And incidentally, one of the best fighter squadrons in World War II. In fact, they were so good that many of the bomber pilots requested Tuskegee Airmen specifically be their protection when they were making bombing runs to and from Germany, because that was one of the main jobs of the fighters, to serve as protection for the bombers. And the bomber crews wanted those guys. They were so good. Not good enough, however, to have mixed company with the white soldiers. It's amazing. And this way, you know, this wasn't back in the Civil War days. It was in the 1940s, for goodness sakes. 1940s. Which makes the story of Dory Miller even more amazing, I think. Well, a nice announcement and well-timed, I think, by the U.S. Navy when they announced yesterday, one day before Martin Luther King Day, that a soon-to-be-built aircraft carrier will be named after the late Dory Miller. As I mentioned, unfortunately, a hero at Pearl Harbor, only to die a couple of years later when the ship that he was serving on at that time was sunk by a Japanese submarine. By the way, I was watching a documentary over the weekend on World War II, and part of it was on the Battle of the Atlantic and the dominance for a while in early World War II of the German submarines, the U-boats, they called them. And I didn't realize this, I knew there were stories of German submarines operating off the coast of the United States. I can remember reading a story once where they got close enough that they could see the lights of Coney Island in the periscope of their submarine. But in this documentary, it said they got close enough and there were no blackouts in the major American cities like there were in European cities at night. And the German submarines would pick off merchant marine ships that were headed to Britain when they could see them silhouetted against the lights of New York City in the harbor, because there was no blackout. But eventually, President Roosevelt and the military realized what was going on, and eventually they got much better at detecting the German subs, and eventually the German High Command pulled them off the coast of the U.S. There was one incident where some Nazi soldiers landed, and I don't remember the details about this. I remember reading it many, many years ago. They landed in a mini submarine or something on the east coast of the U.S. On some sort of a commando mission, which never materialized. I don't remember the details. Interesting. Yeah, it's in a documentary that I was watching over the weekend. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Open talk on the It's Your Turn program today. Is anybody following closely the whole impeachment process of President Donald Trump? I don't know anyone who is. I mean, and I'm not. And I'm a news junkie. But I'm just not, I just can't get interested. You know? I mean, you kind of know how it's going to end up. You know, the House impeached him, and the Senate is probably not going to convict him. It would be a shocker if they did. So I just find it hard to get real interested in the whole process, because it just seems like it's a fait accompli. You know how it's going to end up. And it has dragged on forever, hasn't it? Dragged on forever. I don't know. I guess there are some people who are, you know, waiting on every word. I just can't get that excited about it. Maybe when it's over, I'll have feelings one way or another. But I don't know anybody who's watching. Nothing like folks watch the Watergate hearings, you know, back in the Nixon days, long, long time ago, or even the Bill Clinton impeachment hearings back in the 1990s, which were pretty closely followed. But this, I don't think so. And I don't think it's changing too many people's minds either about President Trump. Well, the people who are firm supporters of Trump remain firm supporters. And they're going to be voting for him when he runs for re-election later this year. And on the flip side, there are people who are not fans or supporters of Donald Trump, and they're not going to be voting for him. So I don't see where this whole impeachment thing is going to change that much, one way or another. Maybe I'm wrong. 283-2525 is our number. It's open talk. Let's get back to the people. Hi, caller. Dave Malarkey here. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hey, Dave.
Hi.
The impeachment thing, I'm interested in it, but what I find troubling is when you have people like Mitch McConnell saying, well, I don't really need to see any evidence or what this is all about, and we're just going to get this over with. But they took an oath to serve the Constitution. So, I mean, shouldn't they at least listen, pretend like they're listening to the evidence?
I've wondered about that as well. And, I mean, we don't do impeachment very often. This is only the third time it's happened in the history of the United States. And there was, Andrew Johnson, Bill Clinton, and now Trump. Nixon was never actually went to trial. He resigned.
Basically, his
Senate
fellow
trial.
Republicans said, hey, this doesn't look good.
Yeah.
You'd be better off if you didn't go through the impeachment thing.
But it's a trial in the Senate, and it kind of, I'm not an attorney, but kind of mystifies me how you can have a trial and say we're not going to call any witnesses. I mean, what's the point in having
it? Yeah, I mean,
what's going to happen?
Nobody
right?
should be above the law. You know, and then when I was watching the prior hearings, these guys are going, you're trying to wipe out our votes. And I'm thinking, what about the 3 million people that voted for Hillary Clinton more than Trump? Their votes didn't count. He gets in by the Electoral College. I don't know. I mean, if you're not going to call witnesses in a trial, it's like a kangaroo court.
Well, it seems like a waste of time almost, which is what I was saying. I just can't get that interested in it. I can't get that excited about it because I kind of figure
I know
how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, when he withheld that foreign money that was already okayed by several different, offices in the government. Yeah, that's just not right, Mm-hmm. And it was only for his benefit. The weird thing about Trump is everything's for him. He doesn't really look. He's looking at his own pocketbook for anything, foreign policy, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
As Donald Trump says, we'll see what happens.
Good to talk to you today, my friend.
All right, Dave. Take care.
Thanks. Sure. So long. 283-2525. Open talk. Hi, caller. Thanks for waiting. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Hi.
I would like to disagree with that gentleman that just called in.
Sure.
Now, when they impeached, they brought these charges of impeachment up against Trump.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Now, if you were brought up on murder charges, is it fair that you can't amount of defense, have your lawyer present and ask the witnesses questions. I mean, this was just done wrong.
Well, you mean the House process?
Yes, the way Adam Schiff, he would not, Trump could not bring witnesses to defend him. I mean, this was done, it was done wrong.
Well, I thought they invited the president himself even to come, and he declined.
That's exactly right. They did. But they wouldn't call, when they wanted to call, when they wanted to call the Secretary of Defense. I mean, this is not like any trial that you have here in Butler County.
So you think it was unsided? It was one-sided in the House of Representatives?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, there. Hey, you're not alone. I'll tell you that for sure.
When you call witnesses, aren't you? If you were accused in a murder case, and there were people there that knew what the truth was, but you couldn't question them. I mean, this was done just. I mean, it's absolutely done wrong.
What do you think about the people that they wanted to call as witnesses, but Trump wouldn't let them testify?
Because they had immunity.
Why would they have immunity?
Would you want the Secretary of Defense and your Secretary of State called in when there wasn't an attorney there to represent them from the White House? Absolutely not.
Okay. Yeah, I'm hearing you. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen in the Senate? I think he'll be acquitted.
I think he will be too. But I mean, the way this was done, it just when they had the trial for when they brought charges against Clinton in the Senate,
mm-hmm.
Clinton's attorney was allowed to go there, not down in the basement of the Capitol building.
Well, Trump will have attorneys. Just over the weekend, they announced some of the team of attorneys that he'll have. Ken Starr from Whitewater fame will be there. Alan Dershowitz is going to be representing the president. And there were some other big-name attorneys that were announced over the weekend that are going to be part of his legal team. So he'll have attorneys in the Senate proceedings.
I forget who it was that testified at in the basement of the Capitol building,
mm-hmm.
And Congressman asked him this the one witness, and it was all hearsay. Did he say that? No. What did he say? I want no pro quo. I want nothing.
Well, that was you are correct. That was a criticism that many leveled at some of those who testified before the House that it was hearsay or third hand. But there were others that were a little bit closer to that have come in later. I don't know. I think that.
Well, let me ask you this, Dave.
Sure. Go ahead.
When the whistleblower's attorney made the statement about a couple of years ago, right when Trump was voted into office,
uh-huh.
He was going to. He wanted to have him impeached.
I didn't hear about that, but
there were even before he was voted, even before he was sworn in for presidency, impeach 45. I mean this.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous on its face.
The House is going to be one-sided? Well, what were they?
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it turns out. Hopefully it won't go on too much longer, huh? Because it seems like it's been going on forever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Supposed to start tomorrow, by the way, in the Senate. So.
Yes, it is.
We'll see. Hey, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. It was good to talk to you today, my friend.
Thank you, Dave.
Sure. So long. That wraps up our open talk time today. We do have more to come, however. In fact, we'll be chatting with our first guest here in just a couple of minutes on It's Your Turn. Ken Starr is scheduled to join us from Star Hill Winery. So please stick around. We'll be hooking up with Ken by telephone in just a couple of minutes as we continue with the Monday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. We'll be right back. Hey, here's a good way to beat the winter blahs. Get out of town for a few days. Why not take a trip with Butler Motor Tours? Butler Motor Tours, a local company. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been around for more than 75 years. And when you travel with Butler Motor Tours, you travel in comfort on one of their big motor coaches, their big cruisers. By the way, they always take trips down to Florida, too, in the winter months. So there's an idea to look at. If you want to check out their offerings, just go to their website. It's butlerbus.com. Butlerbus.com. All their upcoming trips are listed there with the dates and the itinerary and the cost and all of that. You can even book online if you so desire. And you can get gift certificates too. Butler Motor Tours. Check them out online at butlerbus.com. That's Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com. Welcome back, good friends. And speaking of good friends, we say hello to Ken Starr from Star Hill Winery, who joins us via the telephone. Hi, Ken. Nice to talk with you again, as always.
Hey, David. Always a pleasure to talk with you in the big city down there in Butler.
Are you at the winery? Are you at the winery up in Currensville?
We are, yes. Mm. Well, sun is shining.
It's shining here, too. It's pretty cold, though.
well, yes.
The 14th annual WISR Butler County Wine Festival is coming up this Saturday. It's always the last Saturday in January at the Butler Days Inn. We'll give you some more details on that momentarily here, but one of the wineries who will be coming in with their wares for the wine festival is Star Hill Winery. I was talking earlier with the listeners, Ken. I think you've been with us almost since the very beginning. Yeah, I know you've been coming for many, many years.
Yeah, I think we were first when you guys were first doing it, I think we were one of the original wineries.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we first started this wine festival, we weren't sure how it was going to do. There had never been such a thing here in Butler County, and my goodness gracious, we had huge crowds, and within a year or two, we had to expand. We went to two big rooms at the Butler Days Inn and two sessions, an afternoon and an evening session, because it quickly became so popular. And by the way, we're going to be doing the same thing again this year. There'll be an afternoon and an evening session. Tell us a little bit about Star Hill Winery, Ken Starr. First of all, you're located in Currensville. I know where that is. Some of our listeners will not. Can you tell them?
Well, if you head up 79 and jump on I-80 and head east, we're exit 120. We have an attraction sign right off that exit. We're about 8-10 miles right off that exit 120 off of I-80.
Mm-hmm.
We've been we got licensed to sell wine commercially October of 2005. So it's our 15th year in the business. We have about 3,000 vines that we grow here at the winery.
And you have a lot of outlying locations now, too, don't you? In fact, you have one here in Butler.
Yeah, for your Butler listeners, right inside Walmart. We were the first winery in the nation with tasting rooms inside of Walmart stores. Started with a couple, now we have five different locations. Altoona, Butler, Clearfield, Dubois, and Johnstown.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the winery in Curbinsville where we make all the wine.
You are, those are all Walmart stores, folks. If you've seen the Walmart tasting room here at the Butler Walmart, that's Star Hill. Yeah, Star Hill. When did you start making wine? Actually, it was your father, right, who started making wine? You probably watched him when you were a little kid.
Yeah, so
huh?
Most all wineries all kind of start as a hobby. So my dad started making wine with his dad in the 50s. And in the late 50s, he enlisted into the Air Force and was stationed over in Germany and saw how they made wine over there. 1963, I was born, and 9 months later, we came back over to the United States, and he kind of made some wine at that point here and there. In 1967, him and his brother started making wine, and we had the original bottles here at the winery with the wine still in it. Our main business was a financial service business, and we had offices throughout the country, and we were opening up an office in Florida. My parents had a house down there, and when we were down there, we started that office, and that was in the 90s. And in the early 90s, the grandkids started coming, and my mom said, "What the heck are we doing down in Florida? We need to move back up where the grandkids are." So they bought 14 acres off a client of ours here in Kerbinsville. We planted 12 vines to see if they would grow, and now we have 3,000 and six locations altogether, and the 23rd largest producer of wine in the state of Pennsylvania.
Some folks might not realize that Pennsylvania, certain parts of Pennsylvania, are quite suitable for growing grapevines. Years and years ago, we thought the only place you could do that was right along the shores of Lake Erie. But you are getting pretty close to central Pennsylvania, and obviously, if you've gone from 12 vines to over 3,000, your grapevine's doing pretty good there, Ken.
You have to, it all depends. You know, some folks will, maybe they'll go to Lowe's and buy, "Oh, we're going to plant some grapes," Well, those vines may come from California, or they may come from, a different area. So when you plant them, they may not grow like, we want. You have to get those vines from an area that, are inducive to the climate. And so that's a big part when you're planting any type of grape. Make sure that they're suitable for our area or the area where you live.
And what do you do in the winter? I know in the Kerbinsville area it can get even colder than it does here in Butler at times. Do you have to, you have to pack straw around the grapevines or something, or are they hardy enough to survive?
No, they'll go dormant through the years. Like sometimes, depending on the winter and such, we may lose a few vines. I think we're going to replant, about 150 or 200 vines this spring through the years. The weather kind of took its toll, but some of our vines are vines out front, were planted in 1989. So they're fairly old, but the younger ones, sometimes they get a little temperamental and don't make it through the winters.
Do grapevines last a long, long time, or do they have a...
If you ever been to Italy or any of those other, been growing grapes for hundreds and thousands of years, they have some pretty old grapevines. As long as you take care of them. I guess they probably would have some type of a lifespan. I'm not exactly sure what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But, in our cold weather here, it's a little rougher on a vine than, a little warmer climate.
We're talking with Ken Starr from Star Hill Winery. Their winery itself is located in Kerbinsville, but as Ken said, they have wine tasting rooms in a number of Walmart stores, including here in the Butler store, and they'll be in Butler at the Days Inn this Saturday for the WISR Wine Festival. What kinds of wines do you make there? Can you run through some of your favorite ones, Ken?
Well, we have a very large large number of wines that we actually make, and we make all the wines here at the winery in Kerbinsville. From the Merlots, the Cabernets, the drier wines, Chardonnays, Pinot Grigio, Pinot Noir, and the sweeter wines. The majority of the crowd that's coming is more of a sweet wine drinkers. So we'll bring a majority on the sweet wines. I think we're bringing our Pinot Grigio possibly with us. We have a couple of benefit wines we're bringing, which is always a popular, the Liquid Fun, which is a peach pear blend. Last year's wine that we did for the Area Agency on Aging, Cheaper Than Therapy, which is a dragon fruit wine. That's a pretty popular wine. The Dubois Double Play, which is a raspberry Concord. We'll bring the pear, the peach, the Guilty Pleasure. Guilty Pleasure won the Governor's Cup, best fruit wine in the state of Pennsylvania. Once you win that Governor's Cup, you're always the winner of the Governor's Cup, depending on, even though you may do a different batch from years to years. But that's a raspberry, the light hint of white chocolate. We're going to bring, if we have any left, it's selling like hotcakes, but we're going to try and set some aside. We're going to bring our newest wine, which is called Drunken Flamingo. Now, that's a fun wine. So that's a pink-colored Niagara blend that we'll be bringing. It has a picture of a flamingo on the label. That's a fun,
now,
fun wine.
Niagara grapes, that's one, obviously, that does well in this area, right? I mean, that's where the name
comes
from.
Yeah, very hardy. Oh, yeah. The Concord, Niagara, they grow well here in Pennsylvania, and, you know, primarily in the East Coast.
Niagara.
Pennsylvania, you know, like Pennsylvania is the fifth largest grape producer in the United States, and most people don't know that, and the seventh largest wine producer.
I did not know that. No. Wow. Niagara's grapes produce a white wine, correct?
Correct, yep. Yeah, that'd be a... And mostly you never really get a dry Niagara. I mean, there's some wineries that do a drier or semi-dry. Mostly they're on the sweet side because that's the nature of that grape.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the Concord. You know, the Concords, sometimes you'll find a winery, yeah, we're doing a drier Concord. And, yeah, they'll do it, but it won't be their best seller in most cases because it's just not that type of grape for a drier wine.
I am by no means a wine connoisseur, but I know what I like, and I kind of fall about halfway on the spectrum. I don't like a real dry wine, and on the other hand, if it's really, really, really sweet, I don't go for that either. I'm kind of a halfway guy.
Yeah, you have to, you know, the key in good winemaking, there's a few, you know, things you need to do. One is make sure your wines are balanced. And what's that mean, balance? Well, it's sort of like I kind of do the analogy of when you go to the doctor, the doc says, hey, listen, we got to do a blood test to see what's going on with you. All right. Get the blood test, comes back. Oh, you need a little this, you need a little that. You know, you're not feeling too good. Maybe this will help, blah, 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 blah. Once you take those measures, balance your blood, you're feeling a lot better. Wine's kind of the same thing. So you might have maybe tasted a wine from somewhere and you tasted it and, oh boy, it tastes like a lot of alcohol in there. Or that doesn't taste quite right. Well, it may not be that it has a lot of alcohol. Maybe it's off balance. So maybe the acid's too high or the pH isn't right or, you know, something in that type of realm. But once you balance those, the equation, you know, balance the wine, then you're tasting what the grape should taste like. And that's our whole goal, and we try and do the best we can on that. We're very sticklers on balancing the wines. And you can't have a real, an overly sweet, like you said. You don't want an overly sweet wine. You don't want an overly dry wine. But you want to target to the right market. And who's our market? The female, 23 to 65 plus years of age. That's really who buys our product.
Hmm.
Do the guys buy it? Yes.
How do you... What's the process for balancing? Is that in the process of making the wine that you do things differently? Or?
You have to kind of... there's a couple different ways to do that. It could be a simple process of adding a tad of water to that to balance it out a little bit. It may be you're adding something else to that to bring up the acid because it's too low. And so there's a lot of different aspects to the winemaking process on the commercial end. As a home winemaker, really the idea in home winemaking is, you know, you want to taste it the way you like it. So it doesn't necessarily have to be balanced as correctly because it's just you're the one drinking it or your friends are drinking it, you're not selling it. But when you go to the commercial sense, it's just like, well, I bought that bottle of wine, and if it's substantially different, then it's completely, you know, the consumer's not, you know, they want the way that they tasted it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's challenging for us because harvest is always different. You know, you may get a Niagara, for instance, previous year, that wasn't as fruitful or bountiful as a flavor than the following year. So, but as a consumer, you got to try and balance that to make sure that it tastes somewhat, you know, close to what the consumer's used to. So that's always a challenge with the, you know, at the winery.
How long does it take from grape harvest until you've got wine?
Well, once the grapes are crushed and we have the juice, whether we get it from Erie, for instance, or we get it from the vineyard, if we get it from Erie, they're usually crushed and they come to us. The juice needs to get to room temperature, then we'll add the yeast. The yeast starts the chemical reaction. So the yeast, or the yeast attack the sugars, and we want that juice to be at 21 Brix, which is kind of a fancy name for sugar. Mm-hmm. But 21 Brix, then, once you add that yeast, will equate to 10 to 12% alcohol. And that process will take about a week, 2 weeks, sometimes a little longer, but not necessarily that much longer. And then the process, as far as the fermentation process, is done. And then there's some other steps in there. There's a filterization process and so on.
And while this is all going on, the juice is kept in tanks?
Correct, yep. Yep. So we use a stainless tanks for those. We also have a food-gradable poly tanks we use. They're easy to move around. And we usually have between, I don't know, probably close to 10, 12,000 gallons downstairs that we have fermented, ready to go, and we're constantly making as we move forward.
And, of course, you've got to bottle all that, too, so it probably takes quite a bit of quite a staff there, I guess, at the winery.
Well, we have, we have an automated bottling system, came from Italy, made in Italy, and we used to do it by hand way back when. We'd have maybe six people, and we'd do small batches at a time, maybe 250 gallons, and we'd start at 9 o'clock, we'd done around 1:30 p.m., and we purchased a new piece of equipment. It was a first of its kind in the United States. Not that automation is new, it's just that the machine was built for wineries like our size. So we would rinse each bottle out, set it at one end, it would put 750 milliliters in each bottle, come around, put the cork in the bottle, put the shrink wrap top on, spin the bottle around, put the label front and back on it, and from there it goes in the case. And with two people using the new machine, well, now it's been, we've had it for quite a while, but we can do that same 250 gallons in about 2 hours.
Wow. Well, I hope you bring some of that, some of those fruit blends you were talking about to Butler on Saturday, because I'd like to try that peach pear. That sounds good.
And that's a good one.
And that raspberry Concord blend, that sounds very tasty as well.
Yeah, that's a very popular one. We did that one for, actually, Penn State Dubois campus as a fundraiser for the athletic department.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very popular one. It has it's Dubois Double Play, which was the coach of the baseball team, actually won the experience to blend their wine, go through the winemaking process, design the label, put their names on the label. But we'll be bringing that one along with us.
What about your winery? If folks happen to be traveling along I-80 and want to stop in, are you open every day?
We're open every day. Sundays is the only days we're closed now until April. But we're open every day from 9 to 5. We just put a brand new 80-foot porch on the front and closed. For different events and such, because we do host weddings and parties and receptions and all types up here, so it allows folks to do maybe a smaller event right outside, and we have places inside also.
Nice.
We just finished up with our trivia night last Friday. Had a big crowd. We do that every other week. So all kinds of stuff going on. You can just a lot of the events we post on our Facebook page, which is Star Hill Vineyard and Winery. And some of them on our website, which is starhillwinery.com.
Well, we'll certainly look forward to welcoming you to Butler again this Saturday, Ken. And, gosh, good to talk to you once again, too.
It's always a pleasure. I think it's been how many years?
14.
14 years we've been talking?
This will be the 14th, yeah.
Good.
Time flies.
So we're excited to come down to Butler and at the Wine Fest. If you haven't bought your tickets, make sure you get your tickets. It'll be a great time.
Indeed. All right, Ken. Good to talk with you, my friend. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Yeah, bye-bye. Ken Starr Winery. Now, we need to take a quick break here. I'll be back to tell you a little bit more about tickets for the wine festival right after these words.
How do you choose a funeral home? Reputation? The facility? A general feeling about the organization itself? Should you consider cremation? And of course, cost. I know you have many questions, so let Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler help you with some of the answers. We know our business and how to serve the Butler community. After all, we've been here for more than 90 years. A third generation of the same family is dedicated to this service. Thompson Miller provides complete services with dignity in the funeral home, at graveside, and for entombment. Thompson Miller is here to help you through the planning process with advice, counsel, experience, and compassion. Call us, and we'll help you make these important and sensitive decisions. 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or visit our website at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, because we care.
Interested in tickets for the WISR Wine Festival, 14th annual, is this Saturday. Butler Days Inn, there's an afternoon session. If that fits your schedule, it's from 2 to 5. Or if you'd like to come to the evening session, that'll be from 6 to 9. You can enjoy that one as well. There'll be Pennsylvania wineries and distilleries on hand with some of their favorite products, and they'll have full bottles available for purchase if you desire. But with the price of a ticket, you get to taste. You get a souvenir wine glass. That's a lot of fun. There'll be food samples and specialty vendors, too. Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. You can get advance tickets here at the radio station, 252 Pillow Street, or online at wisr.com/winefest. Must be 21 to attend, of course, because we're serving wine. And that's this coming Saturday. It's always a lot of fun. It's great fun, as a matter of fact. Okay, one quick break here, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the dangers of vaping with a medical doctor. Dr. Jay Lee will be joining us in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Concordia Visiting Nurses Elder Pages Pittsburgh helps you to stay independent by taking charge of your life in order to preserve your physical abilities. Is it Alzheimer's or the normal forgetfulness of aging? Elder Pages Pittsburgh can provide answers. Discover tips for living well with CHF, COPD, and diabetes. Visit elderpagespittsburgh.com by Concordia Visiting Nurses.
Hey, folks, coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey. There have been headlines all over the place for the past few months about the dangers of vaping. But there's still apparently a lot of misinformation and myths circulating, especially among young people. Well, there's a new survey out recently by the American Academy of Family Physicians, and we're going to talk about that with our guest who joins us by telephone here, Dr. J.W. Lee, who is a practicing family physician. Dr. Lee, welcome. Nice to talk to you today.
Thank you for the opportunity to meet with you today.
So this new survey, it focuses particularly on the younger generations. I'm correct on that?
That's correct.
So is this where we see most of this misinformation? I can't imagine there are people who aren't aware of the dangers of vaping. It's been all over the news for the past couple of months.
That's correct, and I think that was one of the reasons for our interest in understanding perceptions and understanding of the potential dangers.
Let's talk about the marketers of these e-cigarettes. That's what people use to vape. Many of them say that their customers are vaping in order to quit nicotine. Is that the reason that young people are vaping?
So the most common reason young people vape is to relax. And nearly 3 in 5 would miss the stress relief if they quit. However, what was really concerning was that, a lot of youth felt social pressures to begin vaping, kind of fitting in or being part of the crowd. And this was especially true for teens and for college-age youth. So rather than, helping people quit smoking, e-cigarettes really are introducing a whole new generation to the dangers of nicotine, which is both addictive and harmful.
Another thing that we've heard is that only people who vape cannabis, marijuana, are at risk of these vaping-related illnesses. Is that true, Dr. Lee?
So many respondents thought that the only people who could get or who were affected by vaping-related illness were people that smoke, that vape cannabis. However, that's not true. It's actually dangerous to inhale the heated and volatile chemicals that are in e-cigarettes, and that's the main reason why they should be avoided.
What about secondhand smoke? We know secondhand smoke, even thirdhand smoke, is dangerous. What about secondhand vapor? What about that?
Yeah, so there's a belief that secondhand vapor is harmless. However, secondhand vaping can increase the risk for congenital heart defects, which can affect the children when they're born and also throughout their development and into adulthood.
So we've long known that pregnant women should not smoke. Same thing applies to vaping, I guess, huh?
That's correct.
The Federal Drug Administration has recently raised the minimum age at which people are able to buy tobacco products. It's 21 now all over the country, right?
That's correct.
Has that gone into effect right away? Is that the law right now?
That's my understanding.
And this also applies to buying vaping products or not?
Yes, I think that they've raised the age for vaping products as well as other tobacco products.
Are the headlines helping to move the needle at all on this vaping problem among young people?
So it's interesting. Vaping, in spite of the headlines, continues to be quite popular amongst youth. And it's now actually the most common form of tobacco use among young people. And while the FDA's decision to raise the minimum age is a step in the right direction, we need to do more. And the truth is that, we probably need to go as far as expanding the ban to all flavors and all delivery methods, which really are vehicles to bring young people in, kind of marketing ploys, if you will, to bring people into using vaping products. And we really need to do everything that we can to protect our youth from a lifetime of addiction, substance use, and potential health risks such as heart disease, emphysema, and lung cancer.
Can parents tell if their young people are vaping? I mean, is there a telltale odor like there is when somebody's smoking?
It is hard to tell, and so really what I would encourage parents to do is actually have direct conversation with their children. That direct line of communication is the best way to know whether it's a yes or a no.
You mentioned earlier, Dr. Lee, that for some, many young people, actually, vaping seems to be a social thing. I guess parents should urge their kids to find social alternatives to vaping, eh?
That's correct. And, it's interesting because I think, a lot of youth actually state that they would prefer that their family and friends don't see them vaping. And I think what it implies to me is that they understand that there are some inherent dangers in vaping products and that they should be avoided, and hence the shame.
I've seen more and more colleges are now not only banning tobacco products, but banning vaping on campus. That's a good step, don't you think?
I think that's a great step. From a public health perspective, until we have a better, clear understanding, and given the vaping-related illness uptick that we've seen recently, I think that's the right step.
One final question, Dr. Lee. Is there a place, a website or somewhere where people can go, parents can go, young people, and anybody can go to learn more about the dangers of vaping?
So if you or someone you know is vaping, I would recommend that you please come and talk with your trusted family physician or visit familydoctor.org/vaping for more.
He's a practicing family physician. He is Dr. J.W. Lee. Good to talk with you today, Doctor. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
make it brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone. Someday when you hit it much lighter. Of a beautiful sun. Someday when the world is much brighter.
Ooh, child, things are gonna be easier. Ooh, child, things will be brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna be easier. Ooh, child, things will be brighter.